Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The term that I've used is pole position.
It's time for Pole's Position.
So the number one pick, by the way, for the Bears is secured.
Brought to you by Black Diamond Plumbing and Mechanical. There when you need it.
The Chicago Bears are on the clock.
What will Ryan Pole's do with the number one pick?
You guys are drafting Caleb Williams number one overall.
We'll see.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Woo. You did it. Okay, so.
We're counting down the days to the NFL draft.
Two picks, wow.
With the ninth pick in the 2024 NFL draft. The Chicago Bears select
9999. So I listened to Pole's Position for the last 3 months, every single day, because apparently I don't need to get anywhere with my life. And it's been fantastic.
Sit back and watch them go.
With the first pick, the Chicago Bears select.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons on The Score.
Pole's Position is brought to you by Black Diamond Plumbing and Mechanical, there when you need us. It's really sad. We learned before the show that we have a day game coming up this week.
Tomorrow.
And then another day game on Friday.
Yeah.
And then the draft is Thursday. So that means we only have 4 Pole's Positions left.
Oh, no. No.
Oh, John, I know, buddy. I feel you.
It's devastating. Only 4 of these things left. I mean, of course, the bright side is then they get to draft Caleb Williams.
Sure.
And that's amazing.
And the bright side to some might be that we only have 4 of these things left.
I don't know how that could possibly be a thing that people feel.
Dan Bernstein.
Again, he's not a person.
No, he isn't. You know, it's a good point.
He's not human.
It's a good point by you.
Yeah.
What is he, actually? Some kind of an ectomorph?
He's, I don't know.
Not sure what he is.
He's a real jerk.
Yeah, he is.
That's what I.
He ruined Pole's Position last year. We won't let him this year.
No, it's not going
to
happen.
But yeah, we're
called me, bitch.
We're counting down, though. We're trying to figure out what topics to do, what things to do, and sometimes it just sort of presents itself to you.
Well,
a couple different things came out today that sort of lead us right to this one, don't they?
Yeah. Well, so Brad Biggs did his latest mock draft for the Trib, and he had them trading down, but it was just more of the exercise, it seemed like. But he was like, yeah, people are thinking about this sort of thing, and trading down is always a decent idea. But then Peter Schrager, he doesn't do a lot of mock drafts.
He does one, Danny.
That's not a lot, Speaks.
He does one when you get single-digit days away, from the draft. That's when he does his one and his only mock draft. And it's interesting because it's on NFL.com along with Daniel Jeremiah's third, Bucky Brooks's third, Eric Edholm's second. Like, there's a lot of mocks out there. And to your point, when people do multiple mocks, sometimes they're just like shaking it up because they feel like they ought to shake it up. What Peter does is he talks to all of his sources, brings everything in that he can, and then clearly delineates, this isn't what I would do, it's what I'm hearing from my sources around the league. I find that to be much more valuable.
I do too. Did you read the profile piece that was done on Peter Schrager a couple weeks ago?
I did not.
It was really good. Bruce Feldman did it. It was basically following Peter Schrager around the combine. And it was basically, he knows everybody and everybody knows him. And he uses his relationships a little differently. He doesn't compete with Rappaport and Schefter for the transactional news.
Uh-huh.
He's more in like the Jay Glazer role of, I want to be informed on everything. I'm not going to break every story, but tell me stuff. And he's on the flagship NFL Network show every day for 3 hours. So he's not breaking news on the show,
but he's furthering conversations based on stuff he actually knows.
He's informed. And so, like, it was interesting. It was, you know, he went out to breakfast with Andy Reid and Brett Veach, and then he had to leave because he had an early lunch with Sean McVay, who was his first source. And how did he get him to be his first source? Oh, he went to the combine on his own dime, and he looked at all the coaching staffs and crossed off all the head coaches and all the coordinators, yeah. And then just blind emailed the position coaches because he figured that they were more in his age range. And so then Sean McVay responded to him, so they got coffee. It's just very interesting. But so the point is, he knows everybody, and people tell him stuff because they're not worried that it's going to end up on Twitter as like a transactional report. It's really just to make him informed for fans. So
he has
some high profile hits on these mocks in the past. And so why do I do that entire preamble? He has the Bears trading down from 9. And he has the Bears trading down from 9. Two things fascinated me about this. He has them trading down from 9 with Malik Nabers on the board.
So he's got Adunze gone just after Harrison goes. Got Harrison 5 to the Chargers, and then Adunze 6 to the Cardinals. Then Alt is gone, and then Dallas Turner. And most Bears fans at that point would be sitting there at 9 going, "Oh my God! Malik Nabers has fallen to us."
I would be one of those people. I'd be the guy who's saying, "Give Joe Burrow his Ja'Marr Chase." You know, like that's what I'd be saying. This guy runs a 4.35, mm-hmm. massively productive in the SEC, big, tough, excellent catch rate, is chip on his shoulder, thinks he's better than Marvin Harrison Jr. Give me Malik Nabers. He has Indy trading up from 15 to 9.
For a future second round pick.
And so.
So nothing else in this draft. Nothing else in this draft is just adding a 2.
I wouldn't do it.
You hate it.
I hate it. So all that does is next year you have 3 second round picks, which is, of course, not nothing. You'd have Carolina's second-round pick, your second-round pick, and Indy's second-round
pick. Yeah, no, that's good. That's good going into the second year of your rookie quarterback's contract.
And knowing what you need to maneuver.
Knowing exactly what you need, almost assuredly then letting Keenan Allen go, and knowing that in a wide receiver universe that seems to have a good draft class every single year. If you don't get one later in this draft, or even if you do, you could take another one next year with one of those delightful second round picks. I'm okay with that. Absolutely, I'm okay with that. Ideally, I've been thinking trade down because you're going to take any number of defensive players, and any of them might be available at 13, 14, 15. Or if you're going to do tackle, it might be down there. But I've been thinking you add something in this draft. But if you're just adding something in next year's draft, I'm okay with that too.
I'd be upset. And here's the thing that I'll just sneak preview for our draft show in Detroit. It's going to be hard for me to imagine a scenario where I'm angry because Caleb Williams is going to be on the Bears. And Ryan Poles has earned the benefit of the doubt in my mind because mm-hmm. he's proven to be pretty good at this. But a scenario of Malik Nabers being on the board uh-huh. where I think there's an argument that he's better than Marvin Harrison Jr. and trading out of that spot just for a second round pick, not even this year. So it's a future second round pick, which is less valuable. That would really bum me out because it's not like you'd be adding a top 40 pick this year to also add to the team. That would really feel underwhelming to me.
I think you have added so much that if you're loading up and giving yourself more ammo for next year, as well as still getting somebody at 15 that you might have felt great about getting at 9.
Well, that's the next part of this that we need to talk
about. Yeah, for sure, because again, how many targets are out there? You just added your second tight end, so you've got 2 tight ends you like. 2 veteran tight ends you like. You've got 2,000-yard receivers. And how much 3 wide out personnel is Shane Waldron going to play for Caleb Williams?
Jackson Smith and Jigba did not love how he was used with Shane Waldron
Correct.
In Seattle, but they still drafted Jackson Smith and Jigba to be there.
I know, but I wonder if Shane Waldron comes armed with that information of, look, I drafted a third wide receiver and it didn't even get a chance to use him that much. I drafted a guy high like that.
Malik Nabers is better than him.
Oh, I think so.
Listen, I mean, JSN's performance in that Rose Bowl is one of the best college football games I've ever seen. I still think he has not shown as much as he will in the NFL.
But if you're trying to run the ball enough and you've got two veteran 1,000-yard receivers, like, I understand that the first year adding that wide receiver might strike you as lower on the priority list.
So Peter Schrager has them trading down to 15 with Indy and taking the tackle from Alabama, J.C. Latham. The only reason I wouldn't freak out over this move, even though I would be disappointed in it, is they are trading down for offense, and it's Ryan Poles selecting an offensive lineman.
He's selecting a left tackle to be opposite Darnell Wright, and you have your bookend tackles.
And I can't be mad at protecting the franchise quarterback, but I would note that in this Peter Schrager mock draft, let's say that's what happens just for the sake of argument. Let's say he nails it, and of course he won't nail every pick, but let's say he nails it.
Is that the fourth tackle?
Yeah.
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 I know. Fashano
would be off the board at 13, mm-hmm. Fuaga off the board at 14, and Latham off the board at 15. So you would be trading down to the middle of the first round to take the fourth guy at his position.
Yeah.
And when you are making that trade, you do not know who is going to be there. Like, Brett, when Biggs was on today, he was talking about, if you trade down, I don't think you could trade down too far. That I completely agree with. Like, I don't know if you think you're going to be drafting in the 20s for the next couple of years on Caleb's rookie deal, and you need blue chip players, you need a dozen of them, you need 10 of them to be a real Super Bowl contender, this is your last chance to draft a blue player.
I disagree. Next year, you trade your one and one of those extra twos up to get exactly a piece you want, if you want.
But is
next year, next year, you're armed with three twos in next year's draft. So you're still in a position of strength going in, and you have a year under your belt, and you know what you have.
Hey, so is that the answer? Is that why you'd be more willing to package multiple assets to move up, because you would, in theory, know more about your roster?
Absolutely. You'd know more about your roster. You'd know more about your quarterback. You'd know exactly what you need with a lot more clarity than what you even have right now. And look, to me, this is also informed by the other piece that came out today in The Athletic, where Alec Lewis wrote about NFL teams knowing the best way to draft but not doing it. NFL teams know the best way to draft, so why aren't they doing it? And the whole thing is about a massive pile of empirical evidence that says trade down, that teams should trade down. Conversations with 14 general managers, coaches, analytics staffers, scouts, and executives unearthed a messy concoction of uncertainty, overconfidence, competing incentives, pressure, and impatience. This is from the piece about drafting. Human dynamics writ large, said Bill Polian. The draft is an absolute petri dish for every cognitive bias under the sun. And they did this tremendous data analysis, which showed that across all rounds, the probability that a player starts more games than the next player chosen is just 53%. And when teams trade a pick this year for a pick next year, they generate a 174% return on trades, suggesting the teams should accumulate picks by trading back and into the future more often. The more darts you have, the better your chance of eventually hitting the bullseye. So the whole tenor of the piece, which I strongly recommend, is that teams know that this makes more sense, logically. But they all get caught up in their emotional excitement, thinking, I got a guy. No, really, I watched the tape. Did you watch the tape? I watched the tape. And then they get caught up in it. So I think it's no coincidence for the effect of Poles' position that these two items come out on the same day.
I think that makes sense. I get the idea that the draft is throwing darts, and so your better chance at success is throwing a lot of darts. But that's like a very simple, you got a better chance at winning the lottery the more tickets you have. I get it. Mm. But blue chip players are special. And yes, you can, because then next year, yeah, you'd say you know what you need. You need a receiver, you need a center, you need an edge rusher, you need a three technique. You would then be doing the exact opposite of what that article was saying. You'd be packaging, hopefully, your first round pick in the 20s and one of these extra second round picks to move up to get a blue chip player.
Well, think of the time horizon of where you hopefully are as a franchise. You're going for a Super Bowl roster next year. If you win 10 games this year and make the playoffs, then you're trying to perfect your roster and go for it with Super Bowl-level intensity, and that is when you trade up.
I don't know. I think, in general, you always want to have young, cheap labor, and you could trade multiple picks and trade up and not hit on that guy. You could also be wrong. And obviously, the higher in the draft, the better chance you have at success. But this idea of they traded down last year, and they traded down twice, right? Because they traded the Bryce Young pick, and then they trade down from 9 to 10. I get it's better than Ryan Pace's philosophy, and I'm not sitting here advocating trading up from 9 for Marvin Harrison Jr., but there is something to be said of take a damn good player and let him grow on the exact same timeline as Caleb Williams. Let him be protected now. Let him throw to his guy now and develop together.
I hear you. But they would be, in this scenario, taking somebody that they think is a damn good player and letting him grow with Caleb Williams. Maybe they love J.C. Latham as much as any of these other tackles, other than Alt, who they're not going to get there at 9. But they've looked at it, because we've talked about Olu from Penn State. We've talked about Futanu from Washington. We haven't yet talked about J.C. Latham, and we'll make a point to talk tackles sometime between now and the draft. What if they do think he's a blue player? What if they think he's a blue tackle? And they can get him at 15.
It's impossible to know that. So it's a huge risk. You know, you're trading at 9, and 5 other teams have to pick between you and that.
For sure.
You know, he's the fourth
tackle. So, I mean, maybe like in Schrager's scenario, by the way, Latham is there at 15. Troy Futanu is still there at 15. Byron Murphy II, the interior lineman, is still there at 15. Jared Verse, he has going all the way down at 21. So you're still talking about trading down where there could be a package of 3 or 4 people that you feel good enough about at 15. Because I agree, you don't want to like hone in on just the one guy who you're obsessed with.
No, you have to. If you trade down from 9 to 15, you have to have 6 guys on your board. That you have to have a top 6.
Right.
And you have to be comfortable with getting any of those 6.
If they trade down from 9 and they get Murphy or Verse, you know, somebody we're considering
that,
at 9.
That I would hate. Trading down, trading out of the blue player range, and taking a defensive player, that's the scenario that bums me out on draft night.
Okay.
That's the scenario.
Understood.
By the way, the thing in this mock that maybe is most interesting, Minnesota not trading up. Minnesota staying at 11. Making a selection and staying at 23 and selecting Bo Nix. So not moving up for one of the big 4, but using that pick that they acquired in the trade to just stand pat and take a QB. So that would be fascinating. I went and saw Pat Tomasulo at his job this morning. I got all dressed up. I drove in. I dealt with the Kennedy. I put on a suit and tie. And he's coming on our show via Zoom. Next on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Parkinson Spiegel. Yeah. Sounds like the law firm you call when you get a parking ticket. Yeah.
Afternoons on The Score.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Pat Tomasulo.
Thank you. Thank you all so much for coming out tonight.
Like you, I must be Irish because my name's Pat. But I'm not. I'm Polish. Have a nice day.
Lead sports anchor for the WGN Morning News.
And finally, if you are a regular viewer of this show, you know that I am a man of principle.
I've been saying penis since before you could shave, which, judging by the looks of you, was yesterday.
Stand-up comedian.
I took my very first trip to Europe. I took my wife to Italy for our anniversary. Every morning at breakfast, I'd have like a little pastry, a cappuccino, and I'd feel so elegant. A European, and then a tour group from Wisconsin would just waddle in and destroy that whole fantasy. Just a dozen wildebeests in tank tops and sweatpants. I'm on the trip of a lifetime, and some guy from Sheboygan wants to talk college football with me. Now, save it for Applebee's, Cletus, not Vatican City. I don't want to know you right now.
Oh, Pat Tomasulo.
I do resent that you introduced Willie Harris as Mr. Positivity and not me.
With Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
What a time to be alive, huh? What a time.
You can see Pat Tomasulo. It's Zany's in Rosemont. He's got shows May 2nd to the 4th. He was kind host to me on the WGN Morning News this morning when I was there promoting the book. We are calling this a little bit of a home and home. You can see him now, though, on our Twitch stream and our YouTube stream in what looks to be an interrogation room of sorts. Can we get a decorator in there?
Stop letting Shane feed you lines. He just used the same joke on me in his messaging. Listen, guys, we can talk about my shows all you want, but really I'm here to talk about my new book. It's called Pipeline to the Pros. and it's a really good read. It's about how former Division III players have guys, I don't know if you know this, they've really come to kind of rule the NBA right now. If you look across the NBA, there are so many of them in coach positions and GM positions. So I did a deep dive. The book is out. It's out today, correct?
It's out today, yeah.
My book is out today, so go and get that.
No, really,
by the way,
tell me more.
Thank you for stripping all of the laughter from those stand-up clips of mine. That really is giving people a good indication of what they're going to get.
They're putting their own laughter in.
Unbelievable. Where'd the laughs go? Yeah.
The intro would be 3 minutes if we left in the laughs. It was a standing ovation after every joke. Who was your favorite person to talk to for the book, Pat?
Boy, I got to tell you, it's like, how many kids do you have?
Well, you have
it's
zero.
It's like choosing who my favorite child is. I wouldn't want to slight any of those wonderful coaches or GMs that I spoke to. And let me tell you, there were many of them. I did copious research for this book.
Well, that is a tremendous cover for the fact that you stopped listening just short of Danny actually getting to any specific reference this morning on your show, apparently. Well done, sir. No, seriously.
It's TV. There's no time for specific references.
You didn't get specific?
Yeah, poor guy. We gave him 3.5 minutes. And that included the intro and the outro. You did good, though. You got that plug in fast, man. Oh. I can tell you've done that before.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was not my first rodeo. No, and very, very kind, very accommodating. Nice green room, by the way, at WGN. Yeah. Could have better snacks, but, or any snacks. But in general.
Well, it's not like you don't know a guy there. You should have reached out beforehand and let me know what your rider was.
that's absolutely true. So going to Zany's in Rosemont. May 2nd to the 4th. Are these, we talked to you last time, right, about late shows, early shows, doubleheaders? What's the lineup like May 2nd to the 4th?
Well, we got 5 shows. We got 1 on Thursday, 2 on Friday, 2 on Saturday. There's a lot of new material. So that's probably the biggest reason that everybody listening should go. The second biggest reason is, I don't know if you know, but yesterday was tax day. And your friend severely under-budgeted how much of his untaxed stand-up comedy income he was supposed to set aside for the year. And so if we could sell out all 5 of these shows, I got to tell you, it would really make my month a lot better.
Yeah, what do you itemize as a stand-up comic? Like, what are your deductions?
There's nothing to itemize now. Like, I'll itemize my openers when I used to do this nonsense podcast. That's why this room looks like the CIA uses it for interrogating the Taliban. This is where I used to do the
podcast. Don't steal Shane's line.
Right off a lot of that nonsense. Yeah. That's it, though. I can't write off anything.
No. Yeah, it's like, I got a new outfit. For my stand-up, you could do that, at least.
You can't write off clothes anymore. WGN doesn't give you any money for clothes. I've been wearing the same suits for the last 6 years.
Oh, that's an outrage.
At this point, really, what difference is it going to make if I get a new suit? You think I'm going to get a new suit? CNN is going to call. That ship has sailed.
A man resigned to his fate. Pat Thomas.
Where am I going to go? CBS Local? I'd go work for, I don't know, JP Morgan before that.
Were you proud? Was it a career bucket list moment? Were your friends and family showering you with praise when you went viral for being a world-renowned sayer of the word penis on television?
Yeah. If you think that my family is keeping that close of an eye on what I'm doing for my career, then you significantly misunderstand what they think of what I do for a living.
I wonder if I don't see. Here's the thing. When the only time I hear from my mother is like, remember when I went pool hopping on the South Side? Do you remember that bit that I did? I don't know if you saw that bit. I just showed up in the Southwest Side, you know, near Midway, and just knocked on doors and went in people's pools. And my mother loved it. And I could tell when she approves of a bit I've done, because that's the only time she's going to reach out to me. So that was nice and wholesome. I don't think me yelling penis on the air seven times in a 2-minute segment is the kind of thing that Lena Tomasulo is going to pick up the phone and say, boy, you really knocked it out of the park on that one.
Well, let's give her another chance. So why do you feel that you are the original normalizer of the word penis, Pat Tomasulo? Why do you stake claim to that?
Well, listen, I don't have any scientific data to back this up. And I do want to say this. It's not a competition. That guy in New York for WFAN, the producer, has had I saw the highlight reel of him. I mean, that is just, you know, I like to think, you know, listen, there's always room for Richard Pryor and George Carlin in comedy, right? There's always room for two greats. And he had some beauties in that run. I mean, some beauties. So I can't say with full confidence that that I was first or he was first. All I know is that the guy on Levitard was probably in middle school the first time I dropped the penis euphemism on the morning news. So I'm not going to let a guy like that steal my thunder. Now, that said, there's always room in the movement. I'm never going to shut anybody away. I want him to be part of the movement. I'm part of the movement.
I think score listeners would argue that Terry Bors might have been, you know, a forebearer in this this realm, if you'd like to pay respect here.
Listen,
sir.
I'm fine to sit on the shoulders of giants. That's fine. I like Terry. If he was the one, then he was the one. I don't know. I wasn't here when he, you know, when he may have said it for the first time. But,
what's penis in? Penis no.
See, we got some Terry saying penis.
So we have plenty. But yeah, he crawled so you could walk, or he walked so you could run, whatever the hell.
It's all good. I like the fact that Shane and Tanny know exactly where the penis audio drop is that quickly.
That's Tanny's parents are very proud of that. Your parents don't acknowledge that you say it on television. His are very proud at his ability to pull out the penis as quickly as he can. He's very impressive.
Wow. Yeah.
This is why this is a top 10 show in America right here.
Zanies and Rosemont for Pat Tomasulo.
Scramble to a reset.
May 2nd to the 4th. Sell it out so this man can pay his taxes. So
are you all going to go? Are you guys going to do a group outing to Rosemont? Maybe have a little meal at, I don't even know what the hell restaurants are there now.
I'll check the calendar.
You got me thinking about it because you said you had me at new material, because that's like,
yeah,
so
listen, don't get you're not gonna go send me a full new. What was the last time you saw me?
Me?
I was at the taping of your special.
Oh yeah, it's all new from there. Well, 90% new.
Tanny, you and I saw him at the other Zanies
in Old Town. I don't remember when it was because I have no concept of time anymore. But
maybe 8 months, 10 months.
50% new from there. That was only about 6 months ago.
And Pat, I saw you laugh your face off, but you're really just trying to make people cry that night more than you are trying to make them laugh.
Yes, all I want is your money. Wait, what you for Nudniks to reserve your calendar for September 21st for that, and everybody else listening.
Why is it that your thing and my thing is the same day? The Brain Up Run Walk is that morning. So
is that morning?
Yeah, I'll double dip. I'll double dip 2 years ago. I couldn't do yours thing last year, but I'll come. I'll be there again. It's a great event. It's a great event.
Well, you know why? Because we're just great people. That's why.
That's right.
we're just really good people, and you and I are just in synchronicity. We both thought of the same date.
We're just
my only explanation.
We're just competing for your charitable dollar. Get on our level.
So where's the new material coming from, Pat? What is inspiring you or enraging you these days?
That's a good question. You know, I've been doing a bit lately about like alternative medicine. First of all, I'm blown away that instead of medical journals now, you know, like my UPS man can come to the door and be like, you know, these doctors don't know anything. You know, like this is what happens when you give a guy a job where he gets to drive around and listen to Joe Rogan all day. Like he becomes a microbiologist after 3 months. Like, you know, like with the, you know, and like if that's your, like, if that's your thing, like these, like my father, this is true. My father is into like, he's been into those natural cures for a while. Like he started with fish oil. That was his gateway drug. And he's like, those of you goes, you got to take fish oil. It helps improve brain function. And I'm like, dude, can it help you not give your social security number to people over email? Because that would be the part of your brain I'd like it to improve. Like maybe double the dose before that Nigerian prince hits you up again.
This is fair.
I mean, I was told to get off of fish oil. It's a new thing every 6 months. These fads are changing very quickly. My grandpa just fell for a scam. I was in Kansas City and I saw him and I was picking him up to go to breakfast. He brought his laptop into the car, said that someone had taken over his computer, seized it, put a number up on the screen. He called it and he gave him his credit card.
Oh, geez. Grandpa.
I was like, Grandpa, what are you doing? What are you doing? Old people can't be trusted is basically my point, Pat. That's my point.
We also got to get people over 35 off social media. It's about time. They're getting a little out of control. Unless they're promoting, like, nobody wants to see your face. I just...
Are you ready to quit? Are you ready to quit social media?
I only go on there to promote my stuff. I just, like, I don't want to document my life. It gets to a point where nobody, like, as soon as people, like, over 40 get on an app, that's it. Days are numbered. I was talking to my neighbor. She's 50 years old. She's like, you gotta follow me on. She goes, you gotta follow me. I'm on Snapchat. I'm like, yeah, you're also on hormone therapy for menopause. Get off there.
Those do not go together.
Stop messing around with cat filters and go shut the refrigerator door. You left it open when you were trying to cool off earlier.
So you can see Pat Tomasulo's Zanies in Rosemont, but also one last thing here. What do you think the biggest impact on the game has been from all of these D3 players and coaches who have made it to the NBA?
Well, you know, here's the thing, Danny. It's that these guys, they're gamers. That's the thing. These guys, they're not in it for the money or for the glory. They're in it because they love basketball.
It's basketball.
They love basketball. And they knew they couldn't play in college. They couldn't play, they couldn't play in the pros. So they're like, how can I stay involved in the game? And they were like sponges, right? Is that a fair? That's a word I would use.
Yeah, it's
and
a fair word.
They soaked up all of this knowledge, and then they, and then they work their way up because they're gamers.
Yeah, that's a reason to buy Pipeline to the Pros and a reason to see Pat Tomasulo, Zanies, and Rosemont May 2nd to the 4th. And keep September 21st in the evening open. You can run a 5K in the morning for brain cancer, and then you can laugh your face off in the evening and support.
If you don't come, I'm going to take you and lock you in this room with no food and water for a week.
It looks like an interrogation room. I just had that thought.
Yeah. This is where I throw people on this table, and then I bring in the dogs.
Good luck with your taxes, Pat.
Thank you.
That's Pat Tomasulo. Zanies in Rosemont, May 2nd until the 4th. He's a talented author, that guy.
Puts on a good show.
Yeah, he does.
Puts on a good show.
Does put on a good
show. Yeah, I had no idea he was writing as well. It's good news for him.
Yeah, he's really good. Yep. He's really, really good. It's We have a lot still to get to today. Jed was very eventful. We have some absolutely ridiculous audio that we can get to. You were sucked in by a big sporting event that you never paid attention to?
Yeah, I think it worked exactly as they wanted. And actually, there's new data that just came out that proves it worked exactly as they wanted.
Parkins and Spiegel on the score.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Twitch and YouTube wants to see Whitey.
Come on over here, Whitey, say hello.
What's up, Windy City?
Afternoons on the score.
The WNBA draft is this Monday, and Iowa star Caitlin Clark is expected to be the number one pick. Here to comment is Caitlin Clark.
Wow. Thanks for doing that, Michael.
Good luck in the WNBA. I hope you have a great first season.
Thanks. I'm sure it will be a big first step for me. But it's just one step for the WNBA. Thanks to all the great players like Cheryl Swoops, Lisa Leslie, Cynthia Cooper, the great Dawn Staley, and my basketball hero, Maya Moore. These are the women that kicked down the door so I could walk inside. So I want to thank them tonight for laying the foundation. And Michael, since you're such a big fan, I brought you a souvenir. It's an apron signed by me.
Thank you. I can't wait to give this to my girlfriend.
You don't have a girlfriend, Michael.
Right.
Caitlin Clark crushing it on SNL with Michael Che. She's on quite a run. Obviously did not win the championship, which I know some people are like, hey, hey, it'd be cool if, you know, we were celebrating the person that won the championship, but let's also acknowledge that she's the phenomenon that has made this as popular as it is, and she's lifting up women's college basketball and hopefully all of the sport with her.
That was a pretty great moment on SNL because Michael Che has been making jokes about women's hoops all year, and and then did so that night, and then she had some that the writers had helped her with, no doubt. They were great, but it was very funny. But, man, I found myself yesterday during the show being like, wow, I think I'm interested in the WNBA draft. I think that's something that's happening to me.
Sure.
In the 3 o'clock hour and the 4 o'clock hour, because I, like many others, got swept up in the women's NCAA tournament, having watched some Caitlin Clark highlights, but then all of a sudden there I was watching full games. And then the Final Four was freaking awesome, especially the Friday night double dip. And then well scheduled by the WNBA to have their draft follow in this quick succession. And there they all were, and it was at a cool spot. It was the Brooklyn Academy of Music, which is an incredible old theater in Brooklyn, and Jimmy Kimmel's done shows there sometimes when he's out there. My dad loves to go there and see events, so I was like, well, that's interesting that they're doing it there. And then there they were, it all happening last night, and then I find myself, oh, this guy traded up. Wait, they got two bigs? And I know both of those bigs. They got Camilla Cardoso from South Carolina, and they got Angel Reese from LSU, and they're going to go Twin Towers, you know, in their approach. Will that work better in women's basketball to go ahead and draft two bigs and play them together? Is that what's like? I find myself interested on multiple levels with this thing, and I'm not sure who the target is, but I'm one of them. And here I was interested in what's happening. Well scheduled by the WNBA.
And you said the data was in on the ratings?
2.4 million people watched the WNBA draft. It's never been over a million before.
Yeah.
The most it's ever been has been 600,000 when Diana Taurasi's draft was. This was 2.4 million. The NBA draft is like 3.3 or 3.7 or something from last year. So, yeah, the numbers are like are inarguable. And something's happening. Something is definitely going on, perhaps after years of saying, maybe something will go on. It seems like something is going on.
Yeah, and good for them. We'll obviously find out whether or not how much of it is specifically Caitlin Clark. And the ratings will be down next year, but they will still be up from where they were before. Mm-hmm. And that will hopefully be the new normal for it. Her ability to lift up the WNBA through the power of her superstardom, I don't know, because we've had Diana Taurasi and Candace Parker, and we've had pretty big stars come through.
Sure.
But maybe it's ready this time, and the games are going to be on national TV, yeah, and it's promoted better.
It's just an incremental growth that now gets augmented by this particular superstar.
Yeah, I hope it works. I think it's cool that Angel Reese specifically is here, because she's opinionated and interesting and can be feisty and all mm-hmm. of those things. But if there is, like, star power is good, just in general, right? Star power is good. Star power is good for the city. It's good for sports. It's good for conversation. Dan and Lawrence are having on Dawn Staley tomorrow.
Yeah, it's just awesome.
That's cool.
That's really cool.
That's an A-list women's college basketball guest on a 50,000-watt radio station in the third biggest market of the country. And I'm like, yeah, it's a good book. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? That's an interesting thought to do after you just drafted, you know, this player with the third overall pick of the draft. Like, that's smart. I'll be interested to hear what Angel Reese has to say about Chicago.
You know, absolutely.
Like, I think that even if I don't see myself going to a bunch of games – hell, I don't go to a bunch of Bulls games. I go to maybe six a year. But they have the ability to generate some content. And that's the sort of thing that drives ancillary interest in your sport. Oh, you're a big enough celebrity with a big enough social media following that enough people know you mm-hmm. that maybe a celebrity will come to Chicago to sit courtside at a Sky game to see Angel Reese. Or you'll interact with someone on Instagram that'll make it cool and people will talk about it. You know what? Like,
sure.
The fact that they got someone like that with the seventh pick in the draft, I'm not enough of an expert to know if Angel Reese is the seventh best player in this draft. Maybe she is, maybe she isn't. But she's got to be the second or third most famous person in the draft. And for a league and a team that is marketing is a component of this. I mean, Caitlin Clark got drafted, and she said, buy your tickets now. It's going to be a hot ticket.
And it's happening already.
Like, they are totally aware of their value as marketers for the sport, and that, I think that that's valuable.
And that had already been happening, apparently, that the Indiana Fever tickets for the Chicago Sky game upcoming have like skyrocketed as opposed to the other Sky games, because that's going to be a natural and obvious road trip destination for Indiana fans to try and come here to Mecca of the Midwest. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, I mean, Luke Kanellis had said a couple Sundays ago when I was with him, I guess before the Final Four, it was like, I really think this might be their Magic and Larry moment, that Final Four could be women's hoops Magic and Larry 1979 moment. And I poo-pooed it. I absolutely poo-pooed it in my mind a little bit conversationally. So, you know, but here we are now. If you're an NBA exec, you got to try and play up Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark with Indiana and Chicago and try to, you know, instigate possible sponsorship connections and marketing connections and all of those kind of things and try to capitalize on this, because some of it is natural that it can capitalize on. But you should go ahead and try to manipulate that as much as possible.
Bears hype, Nico Horner with a massive game. If you miss Jed Hoyer, that's in 30 minutes. If you want to come hang out, have some beer and some pizza with our good friend at Rinaldi's, I'll be at the Lincoln Park location at 6 o'clock selling and autographing some books. Pipeline to the Pros available today, including the audio book, forward by Jeff Van Gundy. Been working on it for about 3 years, a portion of every sale to brain up and brain cancer research in honor of my brother Brad. Get Pipeline to the Pros. I'll see you at Rinaldi's in an hour. Parkinson and Spiegel on the Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.